The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Steph Curry was asked about Patrick Mahomes on the Huddle and Flow podcast, and here's what he had to say. Quote, see a lot of myself in him. Obviously, there's been a lot of comparisons, just that creativity. You can't blink or you'll miss something special. I just love his confidence when he knows that at any point he can do something special. Stephen A., mm-hmm. What do you think? Is Steph Curry the closest comparison to Patrick Mahomes?
I believe he is. And again, you know exactly where I'm going with this, his three-point shooting. Steph Curry is a gunslinger. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter man has ever seen. There is no one. And remember, I mean, I go back to the days of watching folks from JoJo White to downtown Freddie Brown when Gus Williams and Dennis Johnson were in the backcourt with the Seattle Supersonics to Dale Ellis, to Dale Curry, to Ricky Pierce, you know, Allen Houston, Ray Allen, Reggie Miller. And the list just goes on and on and on. I have never seen a shooter in my life greater than Steph Curry. You know, you've seen guys that could spot up and shoot like Steph Curry. But moving without the basketball, you've seen that. But dribbling the basketball, creating your own space off the dribble, shooting from the corner, the wing, the key, 10, 20, 30, 40. I've seen him hit 50-footers. This dude ends shoot-arounds and practices and warm-ups, pre-games, shooting from the stands. This dude is the greatest shooter I have ever seen in my life. And I'm telling you right now, Max Kellerman, I will remind you, we love Dame Dollar, Damian Lillard big time. You know that. I know that. And we raved about him last year when he was shooting 40% from three-point range for the first time in his career. I got Steph Curry's career numbers in here. In his entire career, the only time he didn't shoot better than 40% from three-point range. I repeat, the only time he did not shoot better than 40% from three-point year range was last year when he only played in five games because of his injuries. That's it. Other than that, every single season that Steph Curry has played in the NBA, now spanning over a decade, he has shot better than 40% from three-point range. The dude knows no limits. So when we talk about Patrick Mahomes being a gunslinger, having Tyreek and Travis Kelce and all of these boys, in basketball, you can have those other people. But with or without any of those people, Steph Curry's game is his game. He's a sniper, a marksman, the likes of which mankind has never seen. And I say to you, if you're going to say what you said about Patrick Mahomes, my response is, if he watches basketball, I know where the hell he got it from. This dude.
Well, stylistically, let me just start by saying before I tell you my answer, the actual answer to this, stylistically, I understand what you're saying. I mean, we all know Steph can shoot the lights out. He's the best shooter of all time. I don't think anyone really disputes that. To me, what's interesting about Steph that parallels Mahomes is his imagination. Bill James wrote this about Babe Ruth once upon a time. It wasn't that they made the balls different and he started hitting home runs. Babe Ruth came around and said, oh, I'm not supposed to. No one else was swinging for the fences. You weren't supposed to. He said, no, I can swing for the fences. I'm good. I could reach that mark. And started swinging for the fences and out-homered every American League club in 1927, right? And then guys came along who could approximate what Ruth did because they started imitating him, like Damian Lillard's imitating Steph Curry. So I get that. Mahomes has the kind of imagination that Steph has, that Babe Ruth once had. You say, I can't do this? Watch this. And he does seemingly the impossible. But he's not the answer to the closest thing to Mahomes in the NBA. The answer is very obvious. The closest thing to Mahomes in the NBA is LeBron James. LeBron James, by himself, when you have LeBron, you're expecting to play in the big game. you in the big game. You have LeBron. You expect to make a deep postseason run. Now, he can't always deliver you the championship. Depends what's around him. He had plenty of help. The way Mahomes had plenty of help, LeBron had plenty of help in Cleveland when he took a team with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. And they had nice rotation pieces on that team, too. To the finals against a very strong Warriors team. And then what happened? His two guys, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, because of injury, were unable to play. And we saw LeBron drag them to a game six with Dellavedova as his second best player. We saw LeBron James do that. And we recognize, yeah, they came up short because no one could do it by themselves. But damn, if you start the season with LeBron, you're expecting big things. Mahomes is that way. 3 years as a starter, one AFC championship appearance, pre-snap penalty, not on him, that's the defense, hands Tom Brady the ball, they never get it back. Mahomes never gets to touch it in overtime. Next year, they win the Super Bowl. This year, they get to the Super Bowl, and what happened? Kyrie and Kevin Love weren't there for LeBron. Both tackles out for Mahomes. Pressured 29 times on 56 dropbacks. And yet you talk about him parallel to the ground. Stephen A., we saw that man throw three passes into the end zone. Two hit receivers in the face. One in the hands. He can't block, throw, catch. He can't do everything. By the way, he did run some, and that's with turf toe that needs surgery now. Like LeBron, you start the season with Patrick Mahomes, you think you're going deep into the playoffs, probably the Super Bowl. LeBron is the closest comparison.
First of all, I could easily say that about Aaron Rodgers, number one. Number two, when you talk about LeBron James dragging them to a game six without Kyrie and without Kevin Love, because Kevin Love was out, and Kyrie Irving went down in game one of that series, we're certainly not going to accuse Mahomes of dragging them anywhere. They got dragged. That's what happened to Mahomes this past weekend. They got stomped. All right, so let's be very, very clear about that. It wasn't his fault, but they got stomped. They got stomped. Number three, again, when I think about LeBron James and you talk about him, I think a more worthy comparison would be that he's clearly the quarterback of any basketball team that he's playing for, because he basically controls it, because he's a point forward. But I just think about the things that are said about Mahomes, particularly by people like you, not just his velocity, his arm strength, his accuracy, his gutsiness, his moxie, all of those things. That's Steph Curry, because Steph Curry's got all of that and then some with his basketball game that he puts on display on a night in, night out basis. Plus, like Mahomes, he's a sniper. And even though LeBron James has improved dramatically with his three-point shooting, not the last two games where he's shooting 5 of 19 from threes, but over the course of the season, he's improved his three-point shooting. He ain't no sniper the way Steph Curry is.
All right, fellas, love you a long time, but we're blowing through stop signs here.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today marks the 31-year anniversary of James Buster Douglas 10th round knockout of Mike Tyson. Tyson was undefeated coming into the fight, and Douglas was listed as a 42-1 betting underdog. Max, is this the greatest upset in sports history?
Oh, yeah, easily. I want to say something real quick about Mike Tyson right now. Stephen A., I never thought Mike Tyson would be alive at this age. And Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, his podcast, is so excellent. If you've ever seen it, he's one of the best natural interviewers I've ever seen. He's philosophical and, most importantly, genuinely curious about his subjects, about the people he's talking to. Mm-hmm. And if pride is too condescending, I don't know what else. I feel very proud as like a boxing guy when I watch him.
I do too.
And as someone who's known him now for a while. Yeah. He's done an amazing job. But let me say this. His second or third act in American life's been amazing. Surviving and thriving. Mike Tyson, Stephen A., I don't know if the kids today understand, was unbeatable. He was the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. He was going to reign for 10 or 20 years. No one could touch him. Stephen A., they had to have the Buster Douglas fight in Japan. Not because people weren't interested in Mike Tyson. He was there with Michael Jordan as the most compelling athlete in the world. It's because no one wanted to pay for a 90-second fight. His fights were going 90 seconds. They had to have it in Japan. And Buster Douglas, a 42-1 underdog, didn't just beat him. Beat his brakes off. Boxed him and knocked him out. That was, to this day, the most shocking upset in the history of sports.
I tell you this. I feel so I think his wife was there when he knocked out Trevor Burbick. I think Trevor Burbick's wife was there. That was really, really bad to see him getting up and keep falling back down and getting up and falling back down across the ring. It was funny yet very, very scary all at the same time. I would definitely say that's the greatest upset. And, you know, me being a boxing fan, not a boxing aficionado such as yourself, but a boxing fan, I think about Iran Barkley knocking out Tommy the Hitman Hearns. That was a shocker. I think about Andy Ruiz beating Anthony Joshua. That was a shocker. I think about Oliver McCall knocking out Lennox Lewis. I think about Haseem Rahman knocking out Lennox Lewis. Ali beating Foreman was an up. I mean, look, Foreman was Tyson before Tyson in 74. I mean, look, I think about that.
Liston was Foreman before Foreman.
My God, Foreman was a monster. But I will say this. To be a 42-1 underdog definitely is a shocker. From a numbers perspective, Max, I get that. My only thing is this. By that moment in time, even though Tyson was 37-0 with 33 KOs, there were so many distractions, particularly with the whole Robin Givens thing and everything else that came with it. You could see that the attention, the spotlight, and all of that stuff outside the ring was getting to him so much that you did find yourself wondering if anybody could take him past three or four rounds and make him actually have to box and fight to beat them, they would have a chance. But it wasn't because of them. It was because of him and how mentally gone he prepared. You could see that as an analyst covering the sport. Even though he was still an underdog, you could still see it. That's the only question. It's still the greatest upset. I don't have anything better than that.
If it was Evander Holyfield, Stephen A.
Yeah.
But Buster Douglas would show up fat and out of shape to fights, and he was talented, but he was 42-1. Like, there's always reasons an underdog scores an upset, and there were reasons there. Buster was great on that night. Tyson was distracted and everything. But I can't think of, like, the Miracle on Ice, even, in hockey. A goalie can stand on his head. Something could happen. But in boxing, when it's just two dudes and you really know what level they're fighting on, there's no other variables. To have a 42-1 underdog thoroughly beat the champ, I've never seen in any sport anything quite like it.
Yeah, going to Tokyo. Buster Douglas' mother died. He was in a different place. You know, you just saw some of it on the wall, the handwriting on the wall. Tyson wasn't himself. But I got it. It's the greatest upset. No question.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
That's right. The Bucks are Super Bowl champs. And our guest right now, Leonard Fournette, a big reason why 100 total yards, 27-yard touchdown run to seal the deal. Leonard, huge congrats, and thank you so much for being with us.
Man, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. I'm not going to lie. I was having a little bit of FOMO looking at you guys on the boat. First of all, the parade is on the water. Does it get any better than that? And the sun shining. I'm out here shoveling snow this morning. I haven't seen humans in a while, so it looked like a good time, much deserved. But was there any anxiety on your end seeing the Lombardi just soaring through the air, boat to boat?
No, actually, I didn't see it until... We got off the boat. You know, I never knew he did that, but he has six more he can let us borrow, so it doesn't matter.
True story. He could replace it. But the parade, you had a real good time, right?
Yeah, it was a great experience for me, you know, to see all the hard work we put in throughout the season. And also just to be there with my brothers and my team. You know, they took me in the beginning of the season, and the brotherhood just grew from there, and I appreciate those guys for having me at the Bucks organization.
Leonard Fournette, Stephen A. here, man. Good to see you. Happy for you, bro. I got some explaining. I picked against you. I ain't think y'all were going to do it. I knew the offense would score over 30. I damn sure didn't believe that the defense was going to hold them without a touchdown and a 9 points. Oh, hell no. I didn't believe that at all. So major props to Devin White, Shaq Barrett, and the crew. They deserve all the credit in the world. I want to know, what was y'all mentality going into this game with everybody talking about what Kansas City was and what they had done to y'all, particularly in the first quarter of the game that ended up being 27-24 in the regular season. But what they did in the first quarter of that game with Tyreek Hill going berserk, what was y'all attitude going into this game? Could you crystallize it for us, please? Because a lot of folks felt like y'all didn't have much of a chance.
Most definitely. I think our attitude going towards the game is just bringing the fight towards them. You know, they're used to scoring points. You know, I think our defense felt a lot of disrespect towards a lot of those guys on the team and how much they put up the points on us. And just from the offense point of view, we know they wasn't a good tackling team. And just keep bringing the fight towards them. And towards the end, as you can see, they didn't really want tackling anymore. I think they kind of just lost faith in the game. And we just took their will and we broke it.
Leonard, congratulations. First of all, when we had you on last year, you were on the show last year and your future was in flux and it was unclear what was going to happen. Very high draft pick, what was going to happen with your contract, everything. You show up on the Bucks and you didn't look great, to be honest, early in the season. And meantime, Ronald Jones did look good. But as the games got important, when you entered the playoffs, we saw what has come to be known as playoff Lenny. 5.4 yards per carry getting it done. And usually people look at quarterbacks and talk about playoff Lenny. Usually people look at quarterbacks and talk about clutch. And not so much running backs, but to me, you were clutch. You had your biggest performances consistently when your team needed it most. Why?
I mean, it sums up to God, man. It was my time. I flourish and I prosper. You know, PA, Coach B kept saying, man, we're going to need you for the playoffs. You know, to right. And that's what I did. It was kind of hard for me at first, you know, because you come from being coming from a team of being a star player and pretty much the vocal point of the team. So it was difficult for me. It was a challenge to put my pride to the side and understand that I don't have to do everything on my own. We have a great quarterback, great receivers, tight ends, great line, a lot of great players on my team to help me. And that's what I did.
Leonard, got to ask you this. I do need to get into the text messages from Tom Brady and your family with the transition, but also your future here. You are a free agent. Is your hope to stay with Tampa Bay?
We'll see. Right now, I'm just enjoying the process right now with this W, with this organization and my team. And, you know, you never know what the future holds for me right now. You know, I wind up ending on a great note. And I love to be back. You know, we just have to talk to my agent and see what they're talking about.
Well, you're 26 years old. Mm-hmm. You ain't going nowhere. Somebody gonna grab you. Ain't no question about that. But I will ask you this question. You spent the last three previous years of your career in Jacksonville before landing in Tampa for this particular season. And even though you went to an AFC championship game in Jacksonville, the reality of the situation is that when we look at you right now in Tampa as a Super Bowl champion, could you crystallize for us and educate folks out there? What's the difference between a championship team like the one you're on now and a whole bunch of other NFL teams that are trying to be one? If there's an element there, can you tell us what that is?
I think it starts with the head coach, and it starts with the organization. You know, you want to play for an organization that loves you. I can say Tampa Bay truly treated me like they love me. When I first got here, it's been nothing but love. And the coaches, the players, and everyone that's surrounded in this organization, it felt like home. So why not give you all? You know, you're playing with a guy like Tom or a guy like Gronk and a lot of other star players on the team. And it was comfortable for me as a whole, especially from my situation where I came from.
Leonard, a lot of times it's really hard to keep a Super Bowl champion together. You have a very important linebacker who's a free agent. Seems to me that it'd be hard to imagine a team without him. You have an important receiver, same sort of thing. They can use a franchise tag. And you have you. But it seems like the Bucs have the cap space and the wherewithal to keep this team together. What's your pitch for them to keep you? Why should they keep this group together? It's very rare in the NFL, even with Super Bowl champions.
I'm not going to say I have a pitch, but Coach B.A. made it loud and clear yesterday. You know, he's going to keep everyone. He's going to try their best to keep everyone. So we'll wait and see. I'll let my agent figure that out. You know, that's not up to me right now. I'm just enjoying the process right now. And, you know, I'm a world champ. that's the ultimate prize goal of playing football. And I'm just enjoying every bit of that right now.
Good, as you should. And obviously, Leonard, you said this, it's a total team effort. So two things I want you to speak to. Just that transition going from the Jags to Tampa and how your family helped you support through that. And then also, we heard Tom Brady was sending out text messages each evening, encouraging you guys. Just tell us a little bit about those behind-the-scenes situations.
I think prior when I got cut, it was tough for me, you know. I was killing the whole OTAs and camp. You know, I was outperforming every running back we had there. And I just got a call, you know, when I walked through the gate to go to work. They said the head coach wanted to talk to me, and he just cut me. You know, he didn't give me no reason. You know, I think it just was time for a new start anyway for me, to be honest, after everything that happened there. And it was devastating towards my family. You know, it's my first time in my life. You know, I've always been the number one player in everything, freshman, sophomore, senior, player coming out of high school. Been drafted the number four pick overall. And that just wasn't something I wasn't used to, being cut from a game I loved to play, and I was so talented at. And just me going from the Jags to the Bucks, you know, we had guys like Tom who reached out to me, Devin, who wanted me, who made me want to feel part of their team and wanted me to come there. You know, and that's what opened my eyes about this team with those guys. And also, a lot of people don't understand Tom Brady, and I don't understand why people say they hate him, you know, when you don't know a guy. And when you finally get to be around him, is on the same team, and understand his resume and why he has it, and all his rituals and what he does to build his team, build his players around him, and have confidence in him and in the game plan, it's crazy. You know, he gave us a speech before the game. It's about honor. You know, I ain't going to go into details about it, but it was deep. You know, I never felt that deep, or my feelings towards the word honor, until he put it in a sentence that made everybody open their eyes and realize that we're going to win this game.
Leonard, before I ask you my next question, I'll tell you why people hate Tom Brady. Because they ain't Tom Brady. That's why they hate him. Because they're not him. That's why. You understand? They're tired of him whipping their butt. They're tired. I mean, he got everything. He looks great. Beautiful family. Beautiful organization. 6, now 7 rings. They're not him. That's what it is. It's jealousy and envy. Plain damn simple. Now,
yes, sir.
Before I let you get on out of here, was there ever a point right before the Super Bowl, leading into Super Bowl week, that y'all thought this is it for Tom Brady, that he may decide to walk away if he wins it all? Was that a thought? Was that a discussion amongst the players prior to the game?
No, it wasn't. Okay. I think the way Tom carries himself, he carries himself, you don't think about it. You know, think about it, man. Tom comes into work every day, full outfit, jeans and everything, where everybody come up with shorts, sweatpants. He wakes up 5:30 every morning. You know, this is his life. You know, and when you see a guy like that who shows that example and whose hard work and dedication to this game and how it pays off for him, he just boosts everybody else around him. You know, and that's what we did. We kind of got around Tom as a whole and was following his lead. And it's great having a mentor like that. You know, a guy that's arguably probably the best quarterback or the best athlete to ever play football. You know, and that's what we. And great.
All right. So the setback for you was really just a setup for the ultimate comeback, and it all came full circle, a Super Bowl ring. Couldn't be more happy for you, Leonard. All the best to you and your family. Relish it, enjoy all of it, and then you can deal with all the stuff with your agent getting on the phone and figuring out the next move. But try to stay in the moment for a hot second if you can. We appreciate you, and stay safe.
Congrats, bro.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
All right, take care. All right, fellas, let's continue the debate. On Sunday, the Cowboys released their hype video for the upcoming season. Noticeably absent from the video was their quarterback, Dak Prescott. Currently in contract negotiations with the team, and in an eyebrow-raising move on Monday, Dak followed the Washington football team on Instagram. We now welcome former Super Bowl champ Damian Woody to the show.
Oh my God.
Big fella. Don't hurt him.
What?
Don't hurt him.
What the hell?
That's incredible.
What?
That is beautiful.
Hey, you see how
I'll take that straight to the tailor
flossing?
And get that cut up to my size.
You see how I come on the show just flossing now, Stephen A. Max? Come on now.
Yeah, you are.
You know how I do it.
Do you have the baby grand behind you, too? And you've got the mink on? I can't even handle you right now. Damian, I don't even know what to do right now. Just looking like new money.
If it was gray and black,
Molly.
If it was gray and black, if it was like a chinchilla, I would have sat up there and said he was watching American Gangster trying to be Denzel. You know, I would have from American Gangster. I would have said something like that, you know, Bumpy Johnson or something. But, you know, Max mentioned Biggie. I'm like, what the hell? A red mink coat on television in the morning? What's wrong
Savage.
With you, man? What kind of message you trying to send?
I wake up like this, okay? I wake up like this, man. You know, you should have known by now, all the years we've known each other, this is what
hey,
I do.
I ain't never seen all that. Right? I ain't never seen that.
The lineup's crispy, too.
Damian.
He's got the white tee, the crispy lineup. All I need to see is the jeans and the Timbs, and then we're just ready to go to the club and get some bottle service.
I'm going to make him
try to tell him.
I'm going to make him a part
Damian,
of my project
I try
runway,
to tell him.
My concrete runway segment on my shoulder later on this afternoon. How not to dress. What the hell is that under it? I mean, Lord.
White tee, you know what it is. There's nothing you can hang on about this whole thing. Fresh to death.
All right. Yeah.
You know. All right. You know. Mets
I try to tell him, Damian, this dude won multiple Super Bowls, big contract, got kids at all the top institutions across the country. He can get up and put on whatever he wants. I'm with you, Damian.
And Molly can roll her eyes all she wants to. If I rolled in the studio with something like that, Molly would have called me out. Molly said, Stephen, what are you doing? If I rolled in with that,
no,
she's just doing it because it's you. And she would not have tolerated me wearing that. Molly would have lost her mind.
I appreciate a solid first.
Because you know why? Because can't everybody do this? Can't everybody pull this off, Stephen A?
Man, let's talk football, man. Come on now.
Stephen, you're more the trench type.
You know better.
Stephen A's a little more conservative, not as flashy.
All right. Okay.
All right, fellas. All right. Speaking of flashy, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, because obviously this situation is looking a little messy, even more so now with Dak and the contract negotiations. They seem to be very far apart. Adam Schefter was reporting that. Stephen A, which team do you think should really try to pry away Dak from the Cowboys?
Well, before I say that, I just want to say that the reason why we had this particular subject is because we needed a natural, fluid segue into this subject, because you can't go from talking about Super Bowl champions at Tampa to talking about the Dallas Cowboys. There's no relevance there whatsoever. There's none. None whatsoever. Can't follow the Cowboys up after a Super Bowl conversation. So we needed to get into this Mr. Fur Coat himself, Biggie Smalls in First Take with Damian Woody. Having said all of that, I would say this. For the moment, not that there's a snowball's chance in hell that it would happen, but I would say to Houston Texans, because listen, you about to lose Deshaun Watson. He don't want to be there. He don't want to be there. And guess what? And Dak Prescott being the ultimate professional, being the face of a franchise, willing to toe the company line to go along and get along so long as you pay him his money, which Houston wouldn't mind doing, evidenced by what they paid Deshaun Watson. If you're Dak Prescott, that might be something that you're willing to do. I definitely think if you're the Houston Texans, you should consider it, because you want to make sure that you get equitable compensation or something close to it for the services of Deshaun Watson, who's determined not to be there. And regardless of how much you flexing, you can't make the brother want to be there any longer. If he don't like the organization, if he doesn't respect the organization, but you bring him back and insist on him playing for the organization, you are begging for trouble if you are the Houston Texans. So to me, you know what? A comparable or equitable compensation or something close to it in age, in numbers, etc., even in ability, would be Dak Prescott. And that's why I say the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, I thought a couple weeks ago I mentioned that wouldn't be a bad swap, actually. I mean, they can't trade Dak at the moment because they need to sign him to a contract in order to trade him. But I think that makes a lot of sense, actually. And I'm not talking realistically, guys, because I get it. There are salary cap considerations, and the Patriots don't have a lot of room and all that stuff. I'm just saying, one thing Bill Belichick's got to know by now, we're talking about who should try to pry Dak away, is that the days of being able to compete year in and year out for a championship and your quarterback is a game manager seem to be gone. You know, Tom Brady proved the Cliff theory wrong because he showed he's still elite. 40 touchdowns, not a lot of interceptions, came through throughout the playoffs. Look who's winning Super Bowls. Nick Foles notwithstanding, who played out of his mind, by the way. And Carson Wentz got him a lot of the way there. Patrick Mahomes wins Super Bowl. Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers gets to the NFC championship game. He's not going to be able to do it with a second-rate quarterback. And Cam may still be good. Like, let's see when he doesn't have COVID and he's not coming off surgery and all this stuff. Let's see. But one thing we know is Dak is good. Dak is already very good. I'd like to see. I saw what Brady did with a loaded team. Let me see what Belichick can do with a quarterback, right? 7-9 with a lot of good wins, really without one the way Cam was throwing the ball this year. And from Dak's point of view, he's in a kind of dysfunctional place. He's in a circus. He's in a carnival. They're the America's team, right? But not really. That's by reputation. In reality, the Patriots the last 20 years have been America's team. And that environment is a professional environment. I would love to see what Dak can do in that environment and what Belichick could do with Dak. however realistic it is that they could actually work it out. We're asking, should. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, for me, man, I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers for a couple reasons. Number one, just Kyle Shanahan, one of the best play callers that we have in the National Football League. His ability to squeeze out the most out of a quarterback and put a quarterback in the best position possible. I don't know many offensive-minded coaches that had the requisite skill set that Kyle Shanahan has with quarterbacks. I mean, you could go down the list, whether it's, you know, Matt Ryan and you know, RG3 with the Washington football team going back a little bit. This man knows how to put quarterbacks in great positions. One thing we talked about with the Dallas Cowboys as it relates to Dak Prescott, one aspect they never really utilized or underutilized was his ability, his mobility. And in a Kyle Shanahan offense, that's a skill set that is utilized on rollouts and bootlegs and all those RPOs, all those things that you see the modern quarterbacks are doing today. You would definitely see that utilized under Kyle Shanahan. And then lastly, for me, you look at the NFC West, that division. Look at the quarterbacks in that division right now. You got Russell Wilson. Okay, you got Matt Stafford, who came over via trade from the Detroit Lions, and you got Kyler Murray. Okay, the one thing you look at, Jimmy G was good, but he's not good enough to elevate the San Francisco 49ers to that level where we think, oh, they're a Super Bowl contender. You put Dak Prescott in that offense with Kyle Shanahan and the pieces that they have offensively, now we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers legitimately being one of those top teams in the NFC conference.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Deshaun Watson gets to San Francisco, and you talking about Nick Bosa getting back. You talking about Deebo Samuel being healthy. Mm-hmm. You talking about Mostert and those crew and their running back crew getting together with Kyle Shanahan calling plays. I definitely think their defense is going to be back on top. Although I would tell you, losing Buckner in the offseason after the Super Bowl, and I think, what did he go, Indy? If I remember correctly, he went to Indianapolis.
Yeah, he's in Indianapolis.
That was a tremendous loss. They should not have messed with that front four at all. They should have made sure they kept them brothers intact to make sure their defense remained as ferocious as it was. Now, they were still good this past year, despite their troubles. But still in all, if you had left them intact and Bosa had never gotten injured, the 49ers are monsters, no question about it. So Deshaun Watson going there is a gimme. I just don't think that equitable compensation would include Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think Garoppolo is in his class. I think Dak Prescott is. That's the difference.
No, Garoppolo has been in a Super Bowl pretty recently, one healthy. The one thing about
Garoppolo
is, if you look at his team's records with him and without him, they are markedly different. He wins. He almost never loses when, you know, mm-hmm. they almost never lose when they have him, and they almost never win when they don't. So I think maybe that a lot of that is Shanahan, and before that he had Belichick and McDaniels. I get that. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo's stock is a little bit low now. Maybe not the time to sell on him.
All right. One other thing I want to get into. By the way, I didn't mention this. I'm very observant, Damian Woody, if you didn't notice that. Is that a Michelangelo also behind you? Yes, I think it is. I can't really tell all my secrets, Molly.
I mean, I would think I have good taste.
I mean,
tape,
the artwork,
so, you know,
too? Cool. Can I come live at your house? I mean, unreal.
You know that's the wife.
All right.
I mean, come on now. That's not him.
But still, it's solid.
Yeah.
There's just a lot happening in this single shot.
You're supposed to say it's the wife.
It's just a lot of money right there.
That's what you're supposed to say.
Another quarterback topic I want to get to. The latest news out of Houston is that former Texan team president Jamie Roots has resigned after 20 years with the organization. This is the latest shakeup in an offseason that has seen the hiring of a new GM and new head coach. Max, I'll start with you. Do you think Deshaun Watson should be worried about his situation with the Texans now? We know he wants out, but possibly that it might not happen.
Not yet. There's always the danger. We talked about it earlier in the show. You know, the Le'Veon Bell situation where an owner wants to make a point because basically ownership, including the commissioner, like the league, wants to show players, stay in your lane. But we've seen player movement here. By the way, Tom Brady, first of all, got someone shipped out of town and then chose a new destination. Deshaun Watson seeing this. I think what's happening in the NFL is, because of all the rules changes, favoring the quarterback. elite quarterbacks, not just any quarterback, but elite quarterbacks who really make a difference, have the kind of leverage now because they have such an effect on the fortunes of a franchise that NBA stars have. They've never had it until this point, but I think they do now. Brady just showed it. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson starting to make some noise. Guys who can really affect the fortunes of the team, it's going to be hard to keep them if they don't want to stay. And considering Adam Schefter last week said 18 is the over-under, 18 for teams with new quarterbacks, and he'd take the over, it's hard to, like, the musical chairs has just barely begun. And I don't think Deshaun Watson's going to be left without a seat.
I don't trust the Houston Texans. I think there's reason for worry because I think that Deshaun Watson's desire, strong desire to get the hell out of the organization transcends what's transpiring on the football field. I think it's a locker room issue. I think it's a culture issue. I think it's a culture issue that descends from upstairs. And as a result, he doesn't want anything to do with this organization any longer. He's had multiple reasons. He could have complained about Bill O'Brien. He could have complained about Romeo Crennel. He could have complained about DeAndre Hopkins. He could have complained about a lot of different things that may have transpired that he did not like. But the timing of this speaks volumes. And yeah, you could say that the last straw was DeAndre Hopkins and him finding out about it, but not from the organization, at least immediately upon DeAndre Hopkins being traded. You can bring up all of those things. But the reality is that the way he is acting and how dark and silent he has gone, I think it speaks to something that has transpired between him and the organization, how he has been treated. And I think that when you talk about the coaching search and things of that nature, you know, hiring a black coach who's 65 years of age, been in the league for 27 years, and David Culley, who clearly wasn't the number one candidate for the job, but all of a sudden you bring him on board, clearly in an effort to appease Deshaun Watson, I think it speaks to something greater than just football that's going on within that organization. And that's why Deshaun Watson wants out. And to me, any organization that will cause those kind of problems, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're truculent and defiant enough to say, to hell with what you want. We run this show and we're not going to capitulate to your demands. I think that's entirely plausible. I don't think it'll last, but I definitely think that's the position that they're taking right now.
You know, guys, I'm not worried about Deshaun Watson as far as it relates to the Houston Texans, because I look at the Houston Texans and a lot of these sports franchises, they care about the PR noise, the PR battle. And when you look at the Houston Texans over the last several months, they've just been getting battered and abused as far as the PR is concerned from the whole Jack Easterby, you know, his ascension to power and all the power struggles within the organization from key personnel. And I'm not even talking about guys on the field. I'm talking about support staff, people that worked with that organization for a long time that are highly thought of, that have left that organization. And so when you look at the two sides, you have an organization that's in disarray, and then you have Deshaun Watson, who's been the model of consistency, not only on the field with his play and being a top five quarterback, but all the philanthropic things that he does off the field. I mean, there is not a character blemish as it relates to Deshaun Watson. So if you're the Houston Texans, do you really want to force this man's hand? Because let this be clear. He is adamant about getting out of this organization. Do you want to force this man's hand to the point where he would literally sit out a year? How is that helping the Houston Texans move on? Because Deshaun, it's one of two things. Either Deshaun Watson is going to get traded, or Deshaun Watson, you know, just being the person that we know him to be, would sit out. He would sit out because this is a dude that has principles. He would sit out a whole year rather than go play for the Houston Texans.
Real quick, Stephen A., and then I'll throw it to you to close it out. Let me just say, I think what the Texans are doing right now is a little bit of a James Harden situation we saw with the Rockets. But I think what the Texans are doing is Deshaun goes public. Hey, I want out. Now teams aren't going to make their best offer because you know he's got to be traded. So the Texans are sitting there. Stafford is two firsts and a third with Goff. we want three firsts at least for Deshaun, and I think what they're doing now is posturing so that they'll get the best offer from other teams, Stephen A.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I would also tell you, facetiously speaking, because I like Fertitta in Houston with the Rockets, and I appreciate the fact that he hired Steven Silas. But I would say, you know what, you the city of Houston. You H-Town. You're in a state with no state income taxes. I mean, my Lord. And the two biggest stars who happen to be black don't want to be there. I'm just saying. If I'm H-Town, damn. Mm-hmm. That affects me.
Yeah.
Because H-Town's a beautiful city.
They still have Houston, Beyonce.
We have a problem.
Hey, Damian, is it floor length?
Yeah. Huh?
Or does it just come to the knees?
It's like
is it a floor length?
It's a bomber jacket.